And now, our feature presentation. Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Previously on Doomsday Warrior.
With these weapons, the Reds don't stand a chance.
My own scientists have successfully created brainwashed Americans, which we will send out to destroy the American cities.
The Premier still looks too well for a man being given doses of cancer toxin.
Grandfather!
Just what have they been doing to you?
Please! We didn't have a choice! It was Kirov! He said he would kill us!
Ted Rocks. Just a prison, like all the other idiot bandits.
You're Ted Roxon. I heard the guards talking about you. I don't know what to say.
Free all the prisoners in this hellhole, and we can fight our way out.
Ready a bomber jet loaded with 2 neutron bombs. I want the target to be Pavlov City, dead center.
Order received and carried out.
Those cursed beam weapons, I had him!
Is this it?
This is what our records and instruments say, yeah. There was a large mining operation near here, and this is where the equipment was stored. There should be enough minerals in here to build a new library wing.
Or an armory.
Or, if we could get these diggers started, we could start building tunnels connecting the cities together.
No, Pierce. The risk of seismometers detecting our movements is too great. And who knows what we'd find under there. Spencer, you're absolutely sure that this is the entrance?
100%, Rock. Why?
I just have a bad feeling about this place. What do you think, Detroit?
I think we've had about all the bad luck one party could take on the way here. Only 75 miles and it took us 6 days.
Well, the Grizzbears slowed us down.
Not to mention the Horned Rattlers.
And the Red Spy Drones. Can't forget them.
Right. At least we cleared a path for the way back. Let's take a vote. All in favor of entering the cave?
Aye!
All in... Oh. That's all of you. Let's go.
Yeah.
You stay here, Snorter. Too big for where we're going. All right, men. Let's go.
Ted Roxon and his 8-man expedition entered the cave, mining equipment in hand. Once they were inside a few hundred feet, the cave floor began slanting slightly as the stone walls took on a slightly luminescent quality, glowing a light green. They walked, slipping and sliding through the damp ground as musty brown water oozed down the walls and in little rivulets on both sides of the dirt pathway deeper into the bottomless earth.
So, Spencer, what exactly are we looking for?
Anything salvageable. Engine blocks, rusted axles, railroad tracks, drill bits. Anything we can melt down. Our own minerals only have...
What was that?
What do you think it was?
Detroit?
I got my grenades ready.
Okay. Everybody keep your eyes open.
My equipment says that the mineral deposit should be near here, and...
Holy shit.
Everybody, we're heading out now. Hopefully we won't find whatever's making...
They found us.
Roxon looked up to see a dozen 12-legged, 400-pound, hairy red blood spiders dangling from strands of shimmering, translucent, 3-inch-thick webbing. They gnashed their pincers, saliva dripping from their gnarled mandibles. After a moment that seemed to last an eternity, one dropped. Detroit's eyes met its 12 greenish glowing eyes. twisted antenna flailing wildly as the spider continued to chew with rows of ground teeth and mandibles as sharp as twin sides. When the spider stood on its blood-red legs, Spencer's liver flopped out of its mouth.
Rock! Get out!
Eat this.
Detroit, split up. Defense B2.
On it!
Come on, you blood-sucking bastards. You're gonna have to get through me, too.
Across the cavern, Detroit Green was tossing two grenades at a time, heaving them at the last possible second. Rock turned and ran towards the screen. Pierce was nearly covered by one of the flesh-eating monstrosities, his arm disappearing inside the meat-grinding jaws. The Doomsday Warrior pushed the muzzle of the shotgun pistol right up into the thing's jaw and pulled the trigger.
Come on, Pierce. Stay with me.
The poor bastard was already going into shock. Rock knew the symptoms well. White face, trembling lips, eyes staring off into infinity as if preparing to meet their maker. The arm was badly mangled, bits of white bone and tendon hanging out like a rag doll chewed up by the family dog. But there was nothing he could do right now. There wasn't time to tend to the wounded. He didn't know if they were going to get out at all. He reloaded the 7-shot pistol in seconds. More blood spiders were descending from above. Rock aimed straight up. Found himself caught under the mandibles of one of the spiders, sneaking up from behind. His arm had become jammed under him, the shotgun pistol wedged between his back and the dank cave floor. The blood spider leaned in on top of him, and the Doomsday Warrior could see dark, dripping jaws filled with scores of undulating teeth, pieces of flesh and gristle falling upon his struggling face. A long stinger shot out of the spider's mouth and pierced Rock at the shoulder. He felt the stinging acidity of the poison. He could feel his shoulder burn as if branded with a white-hot iron. The blood spider shifted his weight for a second to get a better balance to eat. That was all Rock needed. The spider stopped in its tracks, blinked its eyes a few times as if puzzled, and then fell in a bloody heap on top of Rock. The squishy weight of a dead monstrosity nearly suffocated him, its steamy innards dripping down onto his face. With an incredible effort of will and strength, Rock was able to squeeze his way out from under the dead carnivore. Rock scanned the wide cavern and could see only three of the crew left, plus Detroit, who was peeling off grenade after grenade from his bandolier and tossing them at the army of hairy killers. The Doomsday Warrior ran across the blood-soaked silt of the cave, searching frantically for any members who might still be alive, trapped beneath one of the things. The spiders suddenly took stock of themselves like an army hearing the trumpet call to retreat. Even spiders, with brains surely not larger than grapes, had to realize that their kind lay dead and splattered everywhere. Roxen raised his pistol at the sound. Nearly 300 feet above them, almost invisible in the dim blueness of the glowing walls, was a glistening slug, a good 20 times larger than the monsters down below. It was their leader, or queen, or some damn thing. With renewed vigor, the creeping walls of hundreds of pairs of legs began churning their way toward the 5 remaining free fighters, now banded together in the center of the seared meat and cordite-smelling cavern. There was only one chance.
Detroit! Up there!
The nearly 30-foot-long reddish slug swung slowly in the webbing above them, pulsing with blood.
Can you reach it? It's our only chance!
Detroit Green, descended from one of the great pitchers in baseball, Lenny Green, had the best throwing arm in Century City. Detroit could hit a bird at 100 yards with a stone.
I'll be damned if I can't hit that barn door of a thing, Rock. Anyway, if I miss, I don't have to worry about you telling anyone, do I?
He peeled off two of his phosphorus grenades and pulled the pins.
Everybody get back against the wall. I'll try and hold them off.
The spiders grouped together, apparently in an effort to get their courage up. As they came suddenly forward, Detroit pulled his right arm far down and back behind him like the discus throwers of old, then swung his entire body back around, whipping the grenade from his hand with the force of a catapult. He instantly followed up with the other arm, which shot the second ball of steel death in just as straight and swift a high trajectory. The slug leader, its jelly-like throbbing body coursing with veins of the reddest blood, seemed to sense the twin balls of death as they approached its nest. A row of narrow pink eyes turned slowly toward each intruder, but it didn't have time to study them too closely. The first phosphorus grenade went off with a blast of fiery gel, spreading through the moist air and instantly engulfing the blood slug in an ocean of flame. Then the second bomb, at the peak of its arc, just feet above the creature's multi-brained head, went off. Its very flesh and blood was aflame. Subcutaneous fat and arterial spray burned in an oily smoke, hundreds of feet up in the elaborate network of thick webbing. Within seconds, the webs themselves were on fire, and they burned with an almost sizzling delight, ripping off into flame in every direction. Streaks of screaming flame shot down like meteors. Then the blood slug was falling as its comfortable web nest burned to shreds. Like a cloud of fire, the screaming, flopping thing fell, spewing red blood that burned like the rivers of hell itself. The Blood Queen landed on top of its army of fighters below. The blood spiders were smashed into pulp. The Slug Queen splattered over them, every inch of its rolls of bloody fat aflame, washing across its slaves in a tidal wave of blazing red putrescence. In seconds, they too were burning, their hairy flesh crackling with blue flames, sending out acrid, oily smoke. They writhed and fell over one another, trying to escape. But there was no escape, not this time.
Run.
The three remaining trembling scientists stumbled behind the two warriors, too scared to stop running.
Rock! Your arm slipped! Can you feel it?
No. I got stung.
Shit! We'll check it when we get out!
Rock and Detroit led the remains of their expedition down the smoky cave tunnel back to their hybrid horses, waiting nervously at the mouth of the death trap.
Made it.
Yeah. We're safe. Rock, you don't look too good.
Then Roxon felt the poison hit his heart and brain with a fist-like punch.
That's right. Gotta go.
Whoa!
Doomsday Warrior, The Last American. Charlie Whiskers came over Oak Pass with two woodsmen as scruffy looking as he was. They all chewed tobacco, shifting around uneasily on their old scraggy mounts. On the backs of their mounts, tied behind the saddle, were piles of ratty-looking furs. The men were trappers. Though he had come across the two men only months ago, they all acted like old pals. O'Brady, the fattest of the three, rode up next to Whiskers on his oversized black saddle.
Hey, Whiskers. Yeah, O'Brady?
Your mother sucks donkey slime through a straw.
Pete, the smallest of the three, his face filled with pockmarks, smiled, showing mottled teeth.
Yeah, but your mama wishes she could find some donkey slime to suck. Instead, she fries up eel balls and has skunk piss soup.
Gentlemen, if either of you had mothers, I would be glad to insult them. But since everyone in these parts knows that you both sprang full-grown from rattlesnake turds, I can only compliment you on how well you've done, considering your excremental heritage and how well you disguise the smell of your shit oozing bodies.
Ooh-wee! Damn, Whiskers! You always get the better of us. Half the time I don't even know what it is you talking about. What's this excrement and whatever the hell you said?
You don't want to know, my fecal friend. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Sounds worse when you don't know what it means. The fact is, I done heard some Indians talking the other day, Whiskers. They was talking about the size of your man thing. You was banging away on some squaw, thinking you was giving her the time of her life when she looks up and asks, "Is it in?"
Ahead of the three insult-hurling men, a small farmhouse came into view. A Freedom Homestead, as they were called. There were a few cows, a field of rye, and inside the farmhouse, a kind of second-hand general store with everything imaginable hanging on the walls, from ancient pots and pans that looked like they'd cooked a million meals to ammo for the many different kinds of weapons the mountain people carried. And of course, the store was noted for its moonshine, some of the most foul-tasting, gut-wrenching, wonderful stuff this side of the hot zones. The store attracted people from miles around, not just to obtain a knife or a delectable can of tuna fish for an engagement or a wedding, but also as the gathering place for the region.
Well, you scum-sucking asses, you ready to sell some pelts?
I reckon I am, my hors d'oeuvre acquaintance.
Now, you're just making words up.
From one of the tables on the porch, a buckskin-dressed man looked over at the three.
You two back here again? I bought a bear at your hide last week. At least, and that's what we all heard.
He ate us, but he sure as hell spat us back out once he got a good taste.
Hey, who the hell is that?
Who, Whiskers? That's Charlie Whiskers. Good man. Been hunting with us. Know some real good tricks even I didn't know.
Like what? I ain't seen a good trick for a long time.
Like this?
Whiskers took out a small curved glass lens that fit snugly into the palm of his hand.
Just a piece of glass, my friends. But it's more than that. Observe. I take this log right here and hold it out in front of me. Now watch closely as I use this ordinary piece of glass to make it catch fire. Observe. If I get the light just right. Now don't look too closely now. It'll be like staring into the sun.
Holy crap! There's some smoke coming out!
And after a few more seconds...
Holy shit!
Fire!
Well, I'll be! A fire starter! It's so easy. Does it work off the moon, too?
No, my friend, just sunlight, I'm afraid. All the bugs haven't been worked out.
I'll buy one. How much you be wanting for that?
Oh, sorry, not for sale. I need it for my sale. These are hard to come by, let me tell you. But I'll tell you what, next time I find another one, I'll sell it to you. How about that?
No, I want that one.
The swarthy man walked slowly towards Whiskers, his 6'10 frame seeming to blot out the sun. The man's ugly, wart-covered face loomed over him.
I ain't got no quarrel with you, mister.
Yeah? Well, too bad.
And in a moment, it was over. They both lay there in the dirt, the mountain man clutching his testicles, Whiskers on his hands and knees, one hand against his spine.
Ow! Oh, my back! I hurt my damn back!
Will you look at that? They plumb knocked each other right on their own asses.
Whiskers slowly rose, followed by the swarthy one a few moments later. They eyed each other suspiciously. Whiskers gave his best disarming smile.
Oh, I tell you what, my friend. Instead of fighting, why don't we try some drinking instead?
You know, I think we can do that. Name's Fargus. Sammy Little Boy Fargus. You can see why.
Well, I sure am lucky I got that dumb kick of mine on you. Otherwise, I might have been mincemeat for sure.
I wouldn't have hurt you too bad.
What in the hell is going on out here? I could have swore I heard a flock of them Russians landing.
Oh, just Fargus whipping up some trouble again, Zeb. Ain't nothing to worry yourself about.
Then Zeb's wife, or mistress, or whatever she was, appeared. She walked through the door with a slow, graceful movement. Whiskers couldn't have been more shocked. She was beautiful. One of the most beautiful women he'd ever seen. Young, she had long, straight, black hair, shiny, and well-groomed. A full set of strong, pearly teeth when she smiled, and a face like an angel. Porcelain complexioned, delicate mouth and nose, and round, doe-sized eyes.
Her name's Jackie, and you best be on your best behavior with her. Zeb's a right jealous bastard about her. Still got a piece of my hide missing from the last time I looked too close in them eyes over dinner, and Zeb took a damn whip to me.
Hey, Pete, you're an Indian, and they don't much care for people like you around these parts.
Yeah? Well, you're a filthy old horny mountain man who's about to get his most personal property cut right off his damn body. You keep making eyes like that.
Over a dinner of cornbread, potatoes, and freshly killed buffalo, the three hunters, Zeb and Jackie, talked and drank.
You know, there's been a whole lot more trade with outsiders lately, hasn't there?
Now, that's for sure.
Like, take those freedom fighters we met just the other day. They sure seemed to be in a hurry, didn't they? Like they was heading somewhere?
Yeah, they were damn rude. Probably disgusted by your smell.
Yeah, but they sure paid well. Hey, Zeb, you ain't seen any more around here lately.
Sure, I seen our great freedom fighters. You kidding? They've been coming through Butler Pass for weeks now. All riding like hell, all wearing different type clothes like they was coming from all over the whole damn country. Headed up over the ridge and down into the Five Valley region. Must be planning a big attack or something, though what they'd attack up here is beyond me.
Hush now, Zeb. Suppose these men are spies for the Reds. They would tell.
These men? I've known these two fellas here for more years than there are snare rattlers in these hills. Now, this guy here, this guy, I don't know.
He's been traveling with us for a long time, Zeb. He's a good man, a damn good man.
And I'll tell you something else. He can shoot like a goddamn Daniel Boone.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet he can't shoot half as good as me. Come on, we're done here. Let's go out back and just see how good a shot you think you is.
You better take his challenge, boy.
Oh, but the prize is already here, isn't it, Jackie?
You gonna get your ass out here, or am I gonna have to drag it out?
I'm coming.
There you is. Damn, boy, you're slower than a two-legged mule. Now, you see that bottle on top of that fence post?
The one about 100 yards away?
That's the one. You're my guest, so you gets to shoot first. Got your rifle?
Always.
Aim carefully now.
Always do.
Ha! You done hit the fence. My turn. Yeehaw! Looks like I won.
That you did. And fair and square, too. Now, if you'll excuse me, I gotta go check on my mule. I'll be right back.
See if you can find your glasses there, too.